I've asked Dr. Tejin to speak to us, saying just a few words to us this morning about the recent actions which have been taken by the Board of Control. After hearing from Dr. Tejin, I would also like to say a few words to you about a day of theological reflection which is being proposed for a week from this Wednesday. Dr. Tejin?
The program for today calls for an update. I'm not sure when the last update was. I suppose it was about a month or so ago, but it seems like it was a long, long time ago. In any event, the events thus far in the academic year, as far as the Board of Control is concerned, have focused up until the month of November primarily on the board's actions over against me and the charges that have been brought against me by two pastors. At the meeting of the Board of Control on November 19, it became clear that the Board of Control was making evident what its policy was going to be over against the rest of the institution, at this point particularly the faculty. There were seven major actions which the board took, and I will cover those as quickly as I can so that you are aware of them. I believe that the news release that was issued by the Public Relations Department of the Synod has been on the bulletin board under the arch for these days. It is really a very accurate report on what took place at the board meeting, summarizing in two pages the major action of the board, but perhaps a little bit of fleshing out of that action might be helpful to you. The board determined its own agenda at this particular meeting and pretty much spent its time dealing with the agenda items that the Board of Control decided it was going to take up at this meeting. The first item had to do with the position on the faculty of Professor Ralph Bowman. In effect, what the board decided to do was to rescind the policy that it had established, the decision that it had made sometime before when it granted Dr. Bowman a leave of absence so that he might accept a position with the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. At the time that it granted him a leave of absence, it decided that his leave would terminate at the time when he accepted another appointment to the CTCR. However, at this meeting, the Board of Control decided that it would keep Dr. Bowman on as a member of the faculty through the present academic year or until such a time as the Board of Control should decide to act otherwise. The board did not give any reason officially for this particular decision. Several reasons were advanced in the course of the discussion that do not have official standing. One reason that was given was that he belongs to five faculty members with whom the board has unfinished business. A second reason that was given was that his position on this faculty would enhance his stature as the executive secretary of the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. And a third reason that was given is that having him in this particular status would make it possible for us to utilize his services in the classroom. I understand if the newspaper report in Sunday's edition of the Post-Dispatch is correct, that Dr. Bowman himself acknowledges that the decision of the Board of Control probably has something to do with acting president. At least he indicated in that news account that the Board of Control was keeping its options open as to his consideration for the position of acting president. I suppose that assumes that the present president is not going to be functioning. I haven't got the slightest idea why there should be any such consideration at the present time. The second action of the Board of Control has to do with I'm taking them in the order in which they were taken up by the board. The second action has to do with the proceedings that have been underway against me for the past several months. At this meeting, the board received a communication from pastors Leonard Bulow and Harlan Harnap, in which these two pastors requested the Board of Control to proceed with the disciplinary proceedings on the basis of bylaw 6.79B. That presupposes that the conditions of bylaw 6.79A have been fulfilled. The Board of Control decided to proceed and instructed its chairman, Pastor E.J. Otto of Quincy, Illinois, to deal with the matter to the satisfaction of all concerned. That's the words of bylaw 6.79B. And there will very shortly be a meeting which has been arranged by Pastor Otto for the purpose of carrying out that responsibility. The third major action of the Board of Control has to do with a retirement policy. It perhaps is best simply to read the statement to you. It is the general policy of the Board of Control that all members of the faculty who have reached the age of 65 or who will reach that age by the end of the present academic year will be honorably retired or transferred to modified service before the beginning of the next school year. And then come implementation resolutions, which require that material be presented to the board at the December meeting as to the age of all of those people who come under this policy, and also an indication that this policy will begin with the end of the winter quarter, February 23, 1974, and that the determination as to whether or not the affected faculty members will be retired or will be placed on modified service or will come under the category of an exception to the policy will be made by the Board of Control either at the December meeting of this year or in January of the next year. And then a final statement says that the retiring faculty members will be honored by the Board of Control in an appropriate manner in the spring of 1974. The affected faculty members are, in alphabetical order, Professors Herbert Bowman, Richard Kemmerer, Alfred Fearbringer, Arthur Carl Peepcorn, Arthur C. Repp, Alfred von Rohr Sauer, and Lawrence Wunderlich. A fourth major action of the board has to do with visiting professors. The board rescinded an action which it had taken in June of this past year and indicated that in the future it wishes to determine all visiting professors by a specific name and wants to have a say in the specific terms of the contract that will be offered to those who will be on our campus in some kind of teaching capacity. And this resolution also requires us to present to them information as to the number of visiting and guest instructors that we presently have on our campus and the percentage of the total academic program that is being handled by them. And also the number of filled and unfilled positions in each department of the seminary. An additional action, I guess this is now number five. I said seven, there were eight major actions. A fifth major action that has some consequence for this institution has to do with curriculum. The Board of Control has required that two copies of syllabi and other relevant course materials for all seminary courses to be offered during the remainder of the present academic year be submitted to the Board of Control for review. Along with the syllabi for the courses that will be treated in the rest of this year goes something else. All instructors of courses in which matters treated in New Orleans Resolutions 301 and 309 are studied or dealt with in any way, are to submit two copies of a statement to the board explaining how they propose to deal with such matters. So, assuming that in a course, something that is dealt with by Resolution 301 or 309 comes up, the instructor is to present to the Board of Control an explanation as to how he proposes to deal with such matters. And then there is a schedule by which these matters are to be brought to the board. The relevant one is that the syllabi and these statements for winter quarter courses are to go to the Board of Control by December 1. Then other dates are February 1 for the spring quarter courses and May 1 for summer session courses. The provision is for the chairman and the vice chairman of the Board of Control. Chairman is Pastor Otto. The vice chairman is Vice President Weber. To be responsible for examining the above-mentioned materials and for bringing appropriate reports and recommendations to the Board of Control, and that these officers be authorized to solicit appropriate theological counsel from others, such as the Executive Secretary of the Commission on Theology and Church Relations, whenever they deem such counsel to be necessary or desirable. And a final facet of this resolution requires that the board approve in advance the summer 1974 catalog and the 1974-75 academic year catalog, and that these catalogs not be printed until they have such board approval. A sixth resolution concerns the performance of my performance of my duties as president of the seminary. In effect, what I have been asked to do is to explain to the board how I reconcile the fact that I am president of this school with a number of alleged actions of mine. The first is my participation in the July faculty protest and the failure of the faculty to withdraw that protest. The second is my activity in behalf of the Elim organization, including my services on its executive committee. The third is the absence without the board's awareness or approval of 15 professors from the seminary campus during the week of October 1, 21 to 27. In order to speak in various parts of the synod in protest of the synod's position and or actions. The fourth is my participation in the formation, incorporation, and functioning of the Fund for Lutheran Theological Education, Incorporated, without the knowledge and consent of the Board of Control, and my failure to adequately respond to inquiries concerning that organization directed to me by the Board of Control at the request of the Board of Directors of Synod. And fifthly, the failure of the faculty to date to respond appropriately to the action of the 73 Synodical Convention in Resolution 309. And I am expected to respond to these assertions and to give an explanation to the board as to their relation to my performance of my duties in advance of the next meeting of the board. A seventh major action had to do with the decision of the American Association of Theological Schools to place Concordia Seminary on probation. The Board of Control at this meeting resolved to appeal the action of the AATS Commission on Accrediting. That is, they have asked the Board of Review of the AATS to take up the matter of the AATS Commission on Accrediting decision to place the Board of Control, to place the Concordia Seminary an involuntary language to place Concordia Seminary on probation. The procedures of the AATS provide for the possibility of an appeal. If the Commission on Accrediting takes an action over against an institution, and if the institution is of the opinion that the action was unfair or based on incorrect information or faulty information or inadequate information, then it is the prerogative of the institution. They may, if they choose, appeal the action of the Commission on Accrediting. And the Board of Review is, in fact, the executive committee of the AATS, has the responsibility then of determining the validity of the appeal. That appeal is being made at this point, even though the AATS has announced to the seminary that in the spring of 74, it will be sending people to our campus to investigate how we have complied with the requirements which they have made of the institution. So we'll see what comes out of that particular appeal. The final action of the board, which they got to after 10 o'clock at night on the 19th, had to do with the position on our faculty of Professor Paul Getting. The board decided, first of all, that it was not going to interview him at that particular hour of the night, and that there would therefore be no interview with Professor Getting, and the board then decided not to renew his contract. No official reason was given for the decision of the board. They did take another action. They approved the budget for the 74-75 year. I guess that was somewhere around 11:15 when that action was taken. Now, these particular actions of the board obviously have some major significance for our institution, and they are saying a great deal to the members of our faculty and our staff. Members of the faculty and staff have been talking with one another about the consequences of all of this for our life together here, but they have not come up with any kind of conclusion at the present time as to what sort of response should be made to this action of the board. However, as I read the faculty and staff at the present time, they are fully aware of the serious implications of these actions of the board and are not likely to let them pass without some kind of major statement on the part of this institution. What that statement will be still remains to be seen. I assume that that will be as a result of further discussions among the members of the faculty and staff. Jerry, where are you? Here we are.
Dr. Teachin, the reports are getting longer. I have in my hand a copy of a proposal for a day of theological reflection. There are about 250 copies of this proposal at the doors of the chapel, so most of you should be able to get a copy on the way out. It's a product of a number of students who feel that there's a great need right now to set a day aside to discuss the problems in our synod. It has been discussed by the Commission on Seminary Concerns in a special meeting last night. It's been approved by the Ad Council members. It's being presently submitted to the Academic Council, and pending their approval, it will be submitted to the faculty for final ratification. The purpose of such a day of theological reflection is not only to reflect on the problems, but also to propose some concrete plans for future action and response. A number of students have already gone to their typewriters to pen and write words of proposal as to some form of concrete action. One of these students is Kim Campbell, and he has asked me if he could have a chance to say a few words about something which he has written. Kim?
Monday, this past Monday, with a group of concerned students, I began to draft and to revise and to redraft a confession of solidarity with the faculty and an open letter to the seminary community, all in one document. This is my own personal proposal to be submitted on the Day of Theological Reflection. But right now I'd like to give you the gist or a paraphrase of the high points of the document as input for your own personal and private preparation for that day. The documents will be turned over to the student body for use on that day, on Wednesday, December 5th. The gist of it goes much like this. First of all, that we have been expecting the board to take the action that they did, considering their actions last August with respect to President Teachin, and out of their theological position. Secondly, I express my personally being appalled at their actions, and in trying to understand the board's motives and their goals with respect to this institution. And then the next section is that I state that what they have done affects not just Professor Getting, or the men to be retired, or the exegetical staff, but it affects the whole seminary community. For in the Word and the Gospel and the sacraments, we have been joined to our Lord inseparably and been joined to one another. And so we have become the body of Christ. And if one member of the body is being persecuted, then all of the members of the body are being persecuted. And so as the body of Christ and before the church, we have little alternative but to declare our solidarity with our brothers and the faculty, to encourage and counsel and support one another, both faculty and students, and then to take action with respect to the board's actions, one thing possibly demanding that the board give an account of themselves publicly and responsibly, stating their goals, their purposes, and their aims. But that regardless, that we must stand together regardless of the jeopardy in which it might place ourselves. And unless if we don't stand together, then our own confession of our being a Christian community, the idea of the true unity of the church in both the scriptures and the confessions, and our common lordship to our common sonship to our Lord is called into question, and that we have no alternative but to demand and seek that justice and Christian charity be done. This document, I have some copies, a few copies with me today. If you'd like to see it, then after the meeting, come up to me and I can let you have a copy. But mainly the copies are to be distributed next Wednesday. This is to be input for you. Come by if you want to, grab a copy, sit down at your own typewriter and start drafting a proposal. Start talking, start thinking. And let's not go into the Day of Theological Reflection when it is past, hopefully. Let's not go into that cold. Thank you.
Once again, there are copies of the proposed Day of Theological Reflection at the back of the chapel. I would also like to say that I hope this comes as a word of assurance that both students and faculty are attempting to do as much as they possibly can and hope to do more in the future. And we wait for the approval of the faculty. Thank you.